You're listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada.
Well, welcome. I'm glad you're here. I'm Louie's mama. I remember years ago, I think Louie was probably 4 or 5, and Johnny was just barely 1, maybe 2. And I got to go to a meeting. Now, being a homemaker and with my children all the time, to go to a meeting, it was really special. The men were being taught by Pastor Jack Hayford in the Holiday Inn in Reno. And this is back in 1975. And Pastor Jack is a mentor, a teacher, former president of our denomination, International Church of the Foursquare Gospel, just a big influence in our lives. And he brought his mama to speak to the women, Dolores Hayford. And at that point, my life began to be touched by her words of wisdom. She talked about, at that particular meeting with all the women, the seasons of our life, that each season in itself would not go on forever, hallelujah, and that God promises to be with us through every season. God is faithful. And that was really encouraging for a young mom with 2 kids, and unending diaper changes and laundry and chauffeuring kids to and from places and wondering who could I get to babysit so I could go out with my husband some night. For all the young moms, it was a good word for us that God would be with us and that this season would not last forever. That life interruptions can become divine interventions. And I thought to myself, I need to take these words to heart, because right now I'm in a season with little kids and I know that it's not going to last. There's going to be times where I'll be able to go to church and not be in the nursery all the time. Gave me hope. So I'm going to be talking a little bit about God being faithful in every season. And where better to begin than Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 11. Now, some of you have been given notes, and you can refer to them now or later. They're just for your reference, the scriptures that I'll be using. But I'd like to read Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 11. It used to be a song. Back in the 60s, the Birds sang Turn, Turn, Turn. How many of you remember the 60s? Yeah, you remember the song, too. Oh, good. For everything, there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what was planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to tear, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. What gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with, and he has made everything beautiful in its time. But what will our response be in the midst of trials and troubles in the different seasons that we are living in? To run from God or to run to God. I'd like to share with you some Bible helps that I've learned to walk with God in every season, and I believe that God is forever faithful. Number one, call out to God. The verse says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. And those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. When I was 19 years old, I opened my heart to Jesus. And I was baptized in the Holy Spirit with my husband in his Uncle Bruce's house. God has been faithful all these many years. You know, our first response isn't always to get on our knees and pray. We are the type of people who like to fix things if there's a problem. We say we'll call out to God, but first we're going to do something else to try to fix it. Or first we'll call the doctor. Or first we'll talk to the principal. Instead of just getting on our knees and asking God for his help. Well, as Louis mentioned in his little introduction, one of the most difficult seasons that we went through was when our son Johnny, at age 16, was diagnosed with lymphoblastic lymphoma, a type of cancer. He's a great kid, good student, handsome like his brother, and his other brothers too. How could this be happening to us, to him? We know God, we walk with God, we go to church, we spend time with wonderful friends and people. But in the midst of all of that, we knew we had to call out to God and not just wonder why it was happening to us. So we prayed as a family, as a church, as a community. We called the elders of the city in Carson City, and they all gathered together and laid hands on Johnny, and we asked for God to heal him. This shouldn't be happening. So we called out to God. Johnny said during the course of all of this, Mom, I can't lose. If God heals me, that would be great. But if he takes me home, I'll be with him. And I covered that into my heart and held on to that. He had great faith. Number two, keep doing the things you know to do. In the middle of a crisis or trouble or season, whatever you're in, keep praying. Read your Bible. Have hope. Journal and sing. Worship God. Those are the things that you know to keep doing. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. When we were at UCSF in San Francisco for Johnny's treatments, there were times I knew I should read my Bible. But all I could read was maybe one psalm, maybe one scripture. It was a difficult time. Johnny made a comment. Mom, you don't sing anymore. We're in the hospital. I'm living in the hospital with him. And he said, you don't sing to me. Well, I always sang to the boys at night and prayed with them, and he missed it. And I was reading in Psalm 137, those first four or five verses where it talks about, how can I sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? I will sing to the Lord, lest my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. And I thought, I haven't been singing. God was gently reminding me to keep doing the things I knew to do, to keep my mind, my heart stayed on Him. And I began to sing. But it had been a while since I had sung. Oh Lord, fill these lungs with your breath. And I have to tell you, those first songs were groanings. Groanings to God. And then they became joyful songs, comforting songs, to where even the nurses would come in and sit with us. Number three, recognize the season you are in. God wants to show himself strong in you now. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. We may not want to be in the situation we're in, or the people that we have to be around. But that's where God can show himself strong in and through us. As we surrender to him, we are the light in the darkness, the salt in the earth. Oh, I did not want to go back to Corette Family House across the street from the hospital to do my laundry, or to, when the kids came with Papa to visit, to put our food in the refrigerator, only to have it stolen from us because somebody needed it more than us. Each family was supposed to have a shelf in the community family house, and someone took our food. They thought, ooh, this looks good. This looks better than what I have. To let go of that. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. No, we don't always choose the circumstances. But in the midst of it, God said, I am faithful. I have promises for you. I'm going to show myself strong in and through you in this situation. Whether it's in the hospital, in a cancer ward, vacationing in Mexico, in a prison, or in a palace. God wants to use us. Number four, the greatest thing that God is doing is what he's working in you. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. How is God working in you? How is God working in me? Attitudes, words, actions. How are you responding when someone steals your food? Or your bicycle, or whatever it is. Are you willing to pray for others that are going through an equally bad time? It was during this time that I believe that God put a desire in my heart to be a hospital chaplain, to walk the halls while Johnny slept and hear the pain and suffering of others, and to be able to reach out and touch those that were hurting. And so when all of this was over, I became a hospital chaplain, as Louis mentioned. God was able to use what I'd gone through to help others. Number five, stay healthy. Nutrition, sleep, and exercise. Oh my goodness. Do we not know that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? We're not our own. For we were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're in the middle of a crisis. Trouble. You don't think about eating, but you need to eat healthy. Just eat enough to sustain you. And if you're not getting sleep, sleep deprivation it wreaks havoc on our bodies and on our mind and emotions. We can get totally out of control. You've got to have your sleep. He gives his beloved sleep. I asked God for sleep. There were times that I would go do laundry at the family house across the street from the hospital. And during the time that the clothes were washing and then put them in the dryer, I would lay down on a bed that they sometimes would let me lay on a cot there. I wasn't spending the night. And I'd say, I gotta have some sleep, just a few minutes. And the Lord would just put me to sleep. It was like a power nap, a 20-minute thing, but I was totally refreshed and then ready to continue. I did stair climbing. There were 11 floors I had to walk up and down all the time to get to Johnny's room, and I purposely chose to do stairs instead of the elevator. The elevator kind of made your gut turn anyway. It just went woo, and too fast for me. You see, I couldn't get sick. I was Johnny's caregiver in the room. I had to stay healthy. And it was a sterile room. And there was a time that I was there for over 100 days. And so I had to stay alert and fit and ready to go. There were times that even a doctor would come into the room and not wash his hands. But I was the advocate, and I'd say, wash your hands. This is Johnny's sink over here. This is your sink. They forget. I was trying to protect him. But God's grace is sufficient for us. Hallelujah. There were people that I met in the hospital when I'd go on those walks that I befriended and prayed with, and it was just a marvelous meeting, a God meeting, where life interruption became a divine intervention, a divine appointment. Number 6, keep a journal. Write it down. I will write down all these things as a testimony of what the Lord will do, and I will entrust it to my disciples who will pass it down to the future generations. When we're going through stuff, if we write down those things that encourage us and we journal God's word or those things that we've been reading in the scripture that have encouraged us, later we can read it and know that God was working and will still be working. There's something special about the written word. As Louis said, Johnny went to be with Jesus on Father's Day, June 17th, 1990. We'd gone through this 15 months since the diagnosis. He was 17 years old. He lived giving God glory, and he died giving God glory. It was during that time of the printed word that I had typed in all the scriptures that God had given us and printed it out. And all this computer paper where it used to be attached together, you know, it just came out and rolled it out. And I started to read it, and I had to get closer down. And as I'm reading the scriptures, I started to weep, just crying. These are promises and scriptures God had given us during this time. And I got down on my knees, and I laid down, and I stretched out my hands, and my whole body covered those scriptures, clear down to my toes. And I just cried. And God spoke to me. And he said, "My word has sustained you. My word has upheld you." Hallelujah. Number 7. Don't quit. Press on. Do today well. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may hold of that which for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things that are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Ever feel like quitting? Well, I have. Until Jesus asked me a question. After Johnny died, he wanted to go to a Summit youth conference with the youth group led by Pastor Louis, our son, who was youth pastor at the time. And Louis came to me and he said, "Mom, do you want to go in his place?" Yes, yes. To be with his friends? To go where he wanted to go and worship and hear the teachings, hang out with all you guys? Yes. So we got on the plane with all these kids. I don't even know how many there were in the youth group. And our luggage got lost. It was terrible, terrible, terrible. The girls are the worst. Boys don't care that they have to wear the same clothes for day after day after day, but girls are different. Do you remember that, Louis? So anyway, we arrived finally after delays and not getting our luggage, and we tried to freshen up a little bit, and we went into the conference center, and here I am, drowsy, tired, exhausted, with all these kids. And there were 6,000 youth in that. And the speaker was already talking. He was talking, I don't even remember who it was. He was talking out of John 21. And he was saying, and I just kind of closed my eyes to listen and kind of nodding off a little bit. And he was saying to Peter, Jesus was saying to Peter, "Do you love me?" And this is after Peter had betrayed him. This is a beautiful passage of scripture if you want to go to it sometime and read it. John 21. And Peter says, "Yes, I love you." But before the speaker said anything more, the Lord just as almost audibly said, "Peggy, do you love me?" My ears perked up, my eyes open. Anybody else hear that? "Yes, Lord, I love you. I'm here with the kids. I read my Bible, I go to church. I've given you the life of my son. I love you." And then he said, oh, so gently, "Peggy, do you still love me?" And in my mind's eye, immediately, I saw myself with my other three sons like this. "Yes, I love you, Lord, but you can't have these boys. You can't have these boys." And I found myself clinging to them. And when I saw that picture, I said, "Oh God, I'm sorry. They belong to you. I release them to you. have no right to hang on to them. They were all dedicated to you. I'm not gonna hold on. Forgive me, Jesus. Forgive me. So when I got home, I said to my boys, you belong to the Lord. I gave you to the Lord. And I'm not quitting anymore. I'm moving forward because I love Jesus. I still love Jesus. Number 8. When the going gets rough, have faith in God and stand on His promises. For all God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen is yes. It sends to God for His glory. Oh, I love the promises of God. I love to hike. And sometimes I use my trekking poles. Anybody else use trekking poles? It helps me when I walk, developing a rhythm, but it also pulls me forward and keeps me balanced. We talked a little bit about balance earlier. Balanced, especially when I walk in difficult, uneven ground. My poles keep me from slipping, falling down where there are rocky areas. In the same way, God's promises help pull me forward and keep me balanced in my walk with Him. When I look at my trekking poles, I think of God's promises. They're going to keep me going. So hang on to those promises that He gives you. Thank you, Jesus. I can rely on the faithful promises of God in every season, through good times, through bad times. You can trust in Him. We're all going through different seasons, but no matter what season we're in, God is faithful. Psalm 37, 25, and 26 is not in your notes. I have been young and now I'm old. Yeah. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously and his children become a blessing. Our family has changed. But we're still a family. Louis and I had 4 sons. We now have 9 grandchildren and 7 great-grandchildren. One of the promises God gave to me was, you will see your children's children. After Johnny died, I couldn't think of any of that. And yet that promise was given. And I think it was at a basketball game, and Joni was crying. And I thought, what is Louis doing to you? And she said, we're pregnant. We're pregnant. And I remember just, I don't know if this is what happened, but in my mind, this is what happened. I jumped up and I said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord who took away the life of my son. Blessed be the name of the Lord who gives new life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And Louis said, what are you doing? For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. And He has made everything beautiful in its time. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness, for your word, for your Holy Spirit, for your comfort, for your help, that you lead us, that you guide us, that you go before us, that you're our rear guard as well, and that you will never leave us, never forsake us. We can commit ourselves unto you and release all things into your hand. Father, as I pray with me, in Jesus' name we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Give us strength in the day of trouble. Give us hope, grace, and peace, and faith to stand. We thank you for your word, your Holy Spirit, who is always with us and leads us into truth. And if there's any here today, Lord, is hanging on to anything, I pray that with open hands and eyes closed, you release. This is a posture of giving, but also receiving. Let go and let God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Peggy. What a good and encouraging message. Thank you for using your story and your experience to encourage all of us. And I love that, blessing the Lord in all things, and the good and the bad. And I was saying during rehearsal that song, 10,000 Reasons, so I'll bless the Lord. And I was, you know, saying when we were practicing, I was like, I love the song, just this idea of blessing God in everything, and how that story kind of takes you through life and brings you to the end, and you're still blessing the name of the Lord. Like, we're going to bless him forever. So I love that. Peggy already graciously prayed for all of us, but we will also have prayer available in the back if you need any specific prayer. Myself and Cole and Lisa, I believe, will be back there. And before we go, I'm just going to pray our blessing over us that Louis has been doing for several months now. We're going to keep that going. So if you just receive, I just pray in the name of Jesus, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And I hope you have a great week, and we will see you next week.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us via email at web@hillside4.org. That's W-E-B @hillside4.org.